It's time for This Week in WordPress, episode number 332, entitled In Support of the Chickens. It was recorded on Monday, the 28th of April, 2025. My name's Nathan Wrigley, and as always, I'm joined by some fabulous guests. I'm joined by Michelle Frechette and Tim Nash. Our third guest couldn't make it this week. Incidentally, if you want to join us live and add to the comments, as many people did today, as you will hear, you can head to wpbuilds.com/live at 2 p.m. most Mondays and join in. We would really appreciate that. So what do we talk about this week? We talk about PressConf, an event that just happened. Michelle and many other people went. What was it like and what did they think of it? There's a new theme switcher which enables you to have multiple themes on a single website at the same time. We discuss where that might or might not be useful. There's a new piece by Yoast the Person who is talking all about SEO and whether or not in the past plugins like Yoast from the company Yoast have made it too easy for people to produce content which is formulaic. We also talk about the fact that WordCamp Canada is around the corner. Tim has got a new course. We are urging everybody to sign up. It's at wpsecurity101.com, and Tim outlines all of the different bits and pieces which are in there. He also shares news of a Firefox customization. It's called BetterFox, and it will enable you to make Firefox exactly what you want. We also talk about PatchStacks updates, which they released recently, and WordPress 6.8, along with the fact that many people, are going to be unblocked from things like WordPress Slack and WordPress.org. Those are people that have been blocked in the more recent past. We end the podcast talking about Elementor version 4 and how it's going to become CSS first, and also WP Descriptor, an AI-based plugin, which will help you create alt tags and so on for your images. It's all coming up next on This Week in WordPress. This episode of the WP Builds podcast is brought to you by GoDaddy Pro, the home of managed WordPress hosting that includes free domain, SSL, and 24/7 support. Bundle that with the Hub by GoDaddy Pro to unlock more free benefits to manage multiple sites in one place, invoice clients, and get 30% off new purchases. Find out more at go.me/WPBuilds. And by Bluehost. Redefine your web hosting experience with Bluehost Cloud. Managed WordPress hosting that comes with lightning-fast websites, 100% network uptime, and 24/7 priority support. With Bluehost Cloud, the possibilities are out of this world. Experience it today at bluehost.com/cloud. And by Omnisend. Do you sell your stuff online? Then meet Omnisend. Yes, that Omnisend. The email and SMS tool that helps you make 73 bucks for every dollar spent. The one that's so good, it's almost boring. Hate the excitement of rollercoaster sales? Prefer a steady line going up? Try Omnisend today at omnisend.com. Hello, good morning, good afternoon, good evening, wherever you may be in the world.
Is it just me who hums the last few moments?
Yeah, know, I'm, just the last bit.
I hum and then I'm like, oh no, I've got to be quiet for this bit.
No, you've been totally good, yeah. It's too long, 2 minutes.
I've never hummed it. I know. Yeah, you should change it to 1 minute.
Well, do you know what I did? I when I started doing this show and put it on live, I did some Googling. And the recommendation from most of the people who did things like this was give everybody a couple of minutes, like literally 2 minutes. So that's what I did. And it feels too long because we're stuck in this 2 minute cycle, but I guess most people will get an email from YouTube or what have you, and then open it up. So it's probably about the right length. It just feels a little bit. Yes, I do.
It gave me the time to check my weather.
Well, so I can precisely. I have a little. Okay, so this is going off piste, but never mind. Whenever I click go, I make sure that video starts, and then I have this little set of things that I do. I get out the chair,
like run downstairs and get a water.
No, like the water's already here.
That would banana. Be too long.
But if I, yeah, the banana. Well, I've already eaten the banana. I go around and close the windows because there's quite a lot of noise typically, and you know, so I go around and I just make sure all the windows are shut. And behind that thing,
that logo there is a door. And if I've got the windows open, that door can rattle quite a lot and make a lot of noise. This is so interesting. I'm so sorry. Oh, dear.
I love it.
There we go. It is This Week in WordPress. It's episode number 332. There was supposed to be four of us, you know, me plus three others. But we seem to have been missing a guest. But if the other guest shows up in a few moments, we'll let them in. But I am, thankfully, joined by two fabulous people today. Down there is the co-host of today's show, and it's Michelle Frechette. Hello, Michelle. How are you doing?
Hello. I'm a little jet-lagged and a little tired because just spent 4 days in a 3-hour time difference at PressCrunch down in.
Yeah, we'll get into that. From everything that I saw, it seemed like everybody had rapturously nice things to say about it. But let's park that just for a second, and then you can get into the full thing. Anyway, here's Michelle's bio. Michelle is the executive director at PostStatus, and in addition to that, she is the podcast barista at WP Coffee Talk, co-founder of Underrepresented in Tech, creator of WP Speakers and WP Career Pages. She's an author, frequent organizer, and speaker at WordPress events. Her home is Rochester, New York, and she likes to take nature photography. She likes to do nature photography. And the one URL, if you want to just catch up on the whole thing, is meetmichelle.online. Thank you for joining us today, even though you are jet-lagged. I appreciate that.
And of course.
Also, over there, Tim Nash. Hello, Tim.
Hello.
Nice to have you with us. As always, Tim supplies an intriguing biography. I try not to read it.
Oh. Just to be clear, I was told I do not sell myself enough, so yes. I've done you an advert.
Okay, that's perfect.
I read it. It's lovely.
You don't sell yourself enough. So here we go. This is Tim's bio, which includes a small ad, and you'll find out about the thing that he's mentioning in a moment. Have you or your family been affected by poor security? Do you lie in bed wondering, is my site secure? Then you probably have been in one of Tim's talks and know the answer is no, they are not. 9 out of 10 people say hiring Tim, however, relieves such symptoms as he is a WordPress security consultant. Hire Tim today for better security. What's the URL, Tim? Quickly, just insert it there.
timnash.co.uk.
Nice, easy. Listening to Tim may induce paranoia, panic, and cause the development of a slight twitch. Hiring Tim does not guarantee security or better sleep. 9 out of 10 people was based on a sample of 2 people. Big hole. Excellent. I didn't read that bit until the end. That was lovely. Tim's is going to be forced, whether he likes it or not, to promote something that he's been working on lately. So we'll definitely get into that. If you are joining us, a few bits of housekeeping. If you're joining us, we would love your comments. It's really appreciated when people drop in some comments. It kind of keeps the show ticking along nicely. The best way to do that, let me find my captions. The best way to do that is to go probably here. wpbuilds.com/live. If you go there, it's an embedded video from the platform that we're using, and embedded into that is a little live chat box. And if you want to use that, you don't have to be logged into anything. However, to the right, if you're on a desktop, to the right of the window where the video is YouTube comments. And obviously you would need a Google account and a YouTube account and so on and so forth. So take your pick. But wpbuilds.com/live is the place to go. Send your colleagues and friends there. We'd really appreciate it. And we've got a few comments coming in. Thank you very much indeed. We've got Aaron. Oh, hello, Aaron. Nice to catch up again. How's things going? It says hi all. And also Cameron Jones joining us from the other side of the planet. Good evening. Can't say I'm enjoying the very British weather here in Victoria, Australia.
You mean really sunny and warm?
Yeah, really sunny. What about it, Tim? It's 21 degrees here at the moment, Cameron. I don't know what it is where you are, but presumably.
So to be fair, it's not here. It's about 16 and
I have beautiful sunshine and 21 degrees. Very, very happy. Good morning, says James. Hello, James. Nice to have you with us. Lawrence, I presume, is joining us from Australia as well. Hello. Oh, yeah, there we go. Next comment says,
good evening, he says.
15 degrees Celsius here in Melbourne. It is 21 degrees Celsius here. I don't know what that is in that other unit that only America
uses. It's 11 here.
Oh, 11.
Hang on, 11 Celsius. Fahrenheit or Celsius?
No. 52 Fahrenheit, 11 Celsius. And then the news app says that it's partly cloudy, But I don't know how it determines if it's partly cloudy or partly sunny, because it's kind of doing both. So
yeah, that's the glass half empty, isn't it? Definitely. Yeah. The glass is half empty there. Marcus Burnett is joining us as well. I think he was joining you at PressConf, which we'll find out about in just a moment.
Yes.
So hello, Marcus. Nice to have you with us. And Aaron's saying, trying to work and not get eaten by my puppy. I've got to say, you're watching the right show if you want to get on with your work. I remember somebody once said my podcast was the best cure for insomnia. It's a bit like that. And Cameron says freedom units. What? He's talking about Fahrenheit, I'm guessing. Yeah. Okay. Thank you anyway for making the comments. If you want to do that, just drop us a comment. We really appreciate it. And we try to get as many of them on the show as we possibly can. It's a WordPress podcast, and so the intention is to cover mainly WordPress, but we do stray off into other subjects as well. And this is our website. It's wpbuilds.com. If you want to keep in touch with what we do, so we do this episode. We record it live on a Monday, and that's what you are watching now live if you're joining us. You obviously know it's Monday, I would hope. But we also just sort of repurpose it. We package it up as a podcast episode, which drops on a Tuesday. So if you sign up using that subscribe form that you can see here, you'll get notified when that comes out. So Tuesday morning, UK time, but also when we drop a podcast episode as well. And if you go to the sort of archive section here, WP Builds Podcast, you'll be able to see a list of the podcasts that we've had. And the most recent one, which we might get time to talk about at the end, is all about Elementor. But if you go back, you can see that the likes of Tim Nash there. Look at that. So episode number 419 is what we dropped. So we'll drop you a couple of emails a week. And another bit of self-promotion is to say that the Page Builder Summit, which is a summit that I've been running with Anshan LaRue, and now I'm joined by Dan Mabey as well. It's taking place in the very near future, 12th to the 16th of May. It's totally free if you want to consume the content for the first 48 hours. That's how we sort of make it work. It is, like I said, free for those 48 hours. And then after that, we have an upsell. But it's pagebuildersummit.com. If you fancy sponsoring that event, we've got a few slots open. We've actually done quite well with the sponsorship this time around, but there are still a few slots open. And if you add sponsors to that, so pagebuildersummit.com/sponsors, you can find out about that. But yeah, it's looking like it's going to be a really, really nice event. The speakers you can see are sort of all lined up at the bottom of that page. And although we haven't got, I don't think every single one of them on the page just yet, the majority of them are there. And you can see it's kind of a broad selection of the great and the good from the WordPress community. And very, very heartfelt thanks for anybody who's given up their time for making content for the summit. So there you go, pagebuildersummit.com. I think that's all the self-promotional bits that I've got. However, something quirky happened to me. I was out on a walk the other day. I'm going to throw this one out there. Let's see if anybody responds. And I saw this. I have no idea why this made me laugh as much, but I saw this sign and took a picture of it. Have you ever had one of those moments in life? Like, honestly, these moments in life, I can count all of them on one hand. You know those moments where you absolutely cannot stop laughing? Indescribable laughter that you want to stop because it's so painful. This sign induced it. And it's probably the fourth time in my life when that's happened. And I have no idea why. But if you're listening to this and you can't see it, it's a sort of beaten up old sign. It was on like a farm fence. And it just says, of the chickens. And there's a grayed out picture of some chickens. And I posted this on Twitter and Blue Sky and things like that. And I was really surprised that people started replying with what the missing word might have been. Now, I think that probably said beware of the chickens. Why would you want to beware of the chickens in the first place?
I've just thought of an alternative.
Yeah, go on.
Free of the chickens.
Free of the chickens. Well, yeah.
Not there anymore. The chickens have gone.
Yeah, that's right. They've gone.
Doesn't it look like they're ablaze, though? It should be bonfire of the chickens.
Bonfire of the chickens. Exactly. So this was the intention. I'm going to see if anybody drops in a one-word comment. Put it in all caps so that we can see what it was. But in Twitter, people wrote, the first one that came through was planet. Which I thought was great. Planet of the Chickens. And then I think David Walmsley wrote Revenge of the Chickens. What did you just say, Tim?
Free of the Chickens.
Free of the Chickens. So if you've got anything you want to add to that, that's just a bit of fun, which we'll continue during the show. Put it in all caps And something of the chickens. It's got absolutely nothing to do with WordPress, but there we go. Okay.
Barbecue.
I feel a bit sad for the poor chickens now. Okay.
I might be hungry. Barbecue. I don't know.
Barbecue of the chickens. I like it. Okay. It's not in all caps, but I'll go that one as well.
Podcast of the chickens.
Podcast of the chickens.
If you add WP in front of it, doesn't it become a WordPress?
WP podcast of the chickens. Okay. Reese win. I knew this would be funny. Attack of the mutant. I suppose you got for of. Take the of the out. Attack of the mutant chickens.
I mean, just I like attack it. Of the chickens.
Attack of the chickens. Exactly.
True.
Attack of the chickens. KFs. What's KFs? Is that an acronym for something?
I think KFC.
KFC. KFC, the chickens. And because it's been very popular and it's the perfect segue, thank you so much, Cameron. Press con of the chickens. That's perfect. Okay, keep them coming. If you've got any and you want to add them in, that's absolutely great. I would love that. Something of the chickens. Right, let's move into WordPress gear.
Cammy says good morning, but good morning of the chickens.
Good morning of the chicken. No, I don't think she meant. I don't think she meant that. Okay, so over to Michelle on this one. Really, we've been mentioning this for absolutely ages. Raquel, a very long time ago, started organising what turned out to be PressConf. It felt like it was the sort of child, if you like, of Pressonomics, which is an event that I never went to. I really wasn't in the WordPress space when that had its glory days, I think. And but you went, Michelle, and I think you've just got us, you're just going to sum up what you thought of it. So tell us about
PressConf. I mean, first of all, what happens at PressConf stays at PressConf. So I really can't talk about nothing. Okay. I will say it. I mean, you can look at the speakers and the topics but on the schedule. But I will say that because it's not filmed, recorded, whatever the word we use. Every time I say film or tape, I just age myself severely, right?
Yeah.
But because it's not recorded and we don't record it as attendees and we're not taking pictures of slides to put out, it really does create a freer space for the speakers to be raw and vulnerable in how they present their topics. And I will say that some of the speakers hit your heart so much about what they were talking about that it was, if only for two or three of the talks, I would have spent the money to be there and in the room for those. But all of them were amazing. And the networking opportunities and the extra day at the end to hang out and go-kart or golf or just hang around the pool or whatever you wanted to do. And, you know, go to lunch with people, go to dinner with people. I'm never up early enough to go to breakfast with anybody, but that's another story. Some people were jogging in the morning and I'm like, my scooter's not charged yet. Sorry.
So but
it was really worth it.
Yeah. The stuff that obviously my only interaction really with it was on the social media kind of things. And what I was quite surprised by was in the build up, there was a very large amount of social media posting about, you know, I'm going, and then the inevitable, you know, here I am at the airport kind of post and all that. And then I was expecting to be this cavalcade of social media posts at the event. And actually the opposite happened. It went dead quiet. And I'm presuming that's because there was some sort of mutual agreement that, you know, it was just...
Not really. I mean, we weren't really supposed to tweet about the, you know, what people are saying in their sessions per se. But, you know, usually you'd still see a lot of selfies and things like that. It's that it created such an intimate environment that you didn't even think to pull out your phone to take those photos too often, right? Like we were having such great conversations that it wasn't like, oh, and by the way, say cheese kind of thing, you know? I usually take a ton of pictures and I hardly took anything.
What is it? What's the metric? So when you say having great conversations, what is it? What's the sort of slightly different secret sauce, if you know what I mean, that separates it? Obviously, you've described that the numbers, you didn't say this, but I know the numbers were much, much smaller. So I think it was somewhere in the region of like 140, something like that.
140, 150, something like that, yeah.
Everything happened on in the same place. So there was one track. Mm-hmm. No meals were provided outside, you know, so you had to organize that. So that kind of also created this mechanism for getting together with people and things.
Yeah.
So what if you could try to put your finger on it, the one thing that was it, what would it be?
I think, so there's a couple of things that really led to that. It had a higher price tag, and it was in kind of a distant location for a lot of people, right? So I think what that did is, and I hate to say it, it made it a more elite event in that the people who were there spending more money to be there tended to be some of the bigger names or more insider WordPress people, as opposed to I don't think I saw a single person who was like, hey, I just learned WordPress and I want to know more, like you would get at a WordCamp, for example. And because you had to be intentional about who you're going to lunch with, it wasn't like, well, I got my tray, where am I going to sit, right? So you were choosing the small groups. I mean, it kind of happens naturally, of course, but to get together with and be like, hey, a bunch of us are going to this place for dinner. Who wants to come? I think the most people I ate with at any one time was 8 or 9. And that was out with Cammie in one evening. And she's, you know, in the comments here. And it, I don't know how to explain it really, but like the first, not the first, very first night, because I got in really late, but the first full day, I had dinner with Marcus and Bud. And we laughed and had so much fun together that I think I was going to cause Marcus just spit out his tea at one point because of some jokes that we were telling. And Bud, of course, Bud and I like to bounce off one another. And I call him curmudgeon. He calls me insufferable. And yet he picked up the tab for my meal at the end. So, you know, so it was that kind of event. It's hard to really explain it.
Yeah, I think these things are hard to encapsulate. Okay, yeah. Let me phrase it another way, which might give you a way in. If you could transport one or two of the features that you witnessed there and bring them into a WordCamp, what can you think of anything which might translate well into a WordCamp? That might be that a WordCamp needs to be modified, or it might be just something brand new that you never saw before.
Oh, gosh. I think, you know, not every WordCamp records itself, right? So like that's already a thing with a lot of WordCamps, but creating an environment that allowed attendees as well as speakers to be vulnerable with one another and share their real struggles and their real selves, I think was what really came through in this for me. Anyway, I had never been to Pressnomics, so I had nothing to compare it to. But it was one of those events where you really do leave. Like I don't take notes very often. And I left with, you know, pages of notes that I took while I was there. And a lot of those notes are ideas of things I want to do to create some side incomes while I'm looking for my next big gig, right?
Right.
And so, and I made some really good connections with people about how I can do those things and who I can partner with for some of those. So it just, yeah.
Okay, so recommendation for the future, will you be attending again? You know, if Raquel puts this event on, is it on your list of things to check?
Absolutely, 100%. Oh,
interesting. Yeah, okay. Tim, any insights, any thoughts on that?
I mean, I obviously, you get the FOMO, the fear of missing out, and obviously had that massively over the weekend. I would say that it wasn't a really difficult place to get to if you're not in the US. And especially coming from Europe, it felt like, and I did price it up and went,
it's not feasible for a lot of people.
It just is too expensive. That said, I think it has all the nice things. The smaller intimate conferences are what I really enjoy. I don't like the big mega conferences. I don't find them rewarding. And I don't think you get the same knowledge that you can get from a smaller one. And I'm becoming much more of a fan of a one-track event. Because I sit down and I watch things. And I watch things that I might not have wanted to, you know, that I would have naturally veered away from watching. And that's the way we learn. It's very easy in a conference to go and sit in the hallway rather than watch the talks. Everybody says how valuable the hallway track is, and it is. But there's also great value in those talks. So having an event like that.
There were a couple I sat out to have conversations, really deep conversations with people. I know nothing about blockchain, and like sitting through an hour of blockchain would have been incredibly painful for me. So instead, I chose to have a deep conversation with somebody outside of the room, you know, for that one. But I mean, the other thing that was really good for me, and I did put this on Twitter, was that Pressable was giving away a giant Lego set that is the Pac-Man Lego builder. And I won. So that's coming to my home very soon. So yay for Legos.
So
did you take that on the plane?
Yeah.
No, they said they would ship it to me because it would have fit in my suitcase.
Okay.
Trying to carry that on a scooter onto a plane would have been very challenging.
And also just what the heck? You know, what, why are you? Yeah. So one of the things that I saw, I think it was Katie Keith who was there. I don't know if she's returned home or not, but she tweeted about it. And she said one of the nice things that she thought was that the low numbers meant that there was more sort of chance for serendipity to take hold. You know, you would bump into the same person three or four times just because, you know, it's a small cohort of 140 odd people, so you end up with more conversations with the same person. You get to know them better. Yeah,
there was a snack shack that is part. There's two snack shacks at this hotel, and there are separate little tiny buildings in the courtyard. And one snack shack was our snack shack, and you could go in there anytime during the conference and get an ice cream, get coffee, get a soda, get corn dogs. Like there was all these things all day, every day. Where if like you were just a little snackish or you wanted to like have coffee with somebody, you could do that. And I was like, that's actually pretty brilliant. Like,
yeah,
everybody connects over food, right?
Yeah,
like that's one of the things we connect over.
So. One of those things that the all-inclusive kind of holiday package always sort of seems to drag people in, you know, the little snack thing. So a couple of ideas in the comments. So Lawrence, well, I'm not necessarily suggesting it, but just an option might be PressConf Europe. And Asia, you never know.
I assume Raquel is sleeping right now.
Yeah, I'm sure the idea has occurred to Raquel.
Lauren, send her an email.
Yeah, and then Dave joining us, he says plus one for Europe. And Cammy, who you obviously spent quite a bit of time with, says I'll definitely go again. And my favorite part was the weather in, how do you pronounce that? Is it Tempe?
Tempe.
Tempe. In Tempe, I don't feel like I just went on a trip to a conference. I feel like I went on a vacation with my friends. It's truncated it in the comments on the screen, but
it was in the desert. So Phoenix and Tempe, it's the same airport. It was like 12 minutes to the Phoenix airport, are in a desert. So like, I did not appreciate how dry it was. My lips are so swollen and sore from being dry. And I was like drinking. It did not matter. So you do have to hydrate incredibly well while you're there.
Mm.
Cammy
says, last one, Cammy got something of value from every talk that was attended.
Absolutely.
Okay, so it sounds like a total thumbs up from everybody so far. Yeah. So bravo to Raquel for putting that on. And it sounds like it was a fabulous event. Let's hope.
And to be fair, there was a whole group of organizers that did a ton of work. So
okay, yeah, apologies to them. I don't know who they are, but yeah, thank you for Raquel for putting it on at the beginning anyway, at least. Right, okay, let's move on. Michelle wanted to mention this piece as well, and this is a new thing which actually I've not come across before. So Theme Switcher Pro, why have you raised this one into the show this week?
So this is the newest release from Web Dev Studios. I was talking to Brad Williams. And Nathan, you and Dan are going to be on Post Status Live this Wednesday to talk about Page Builder Summit. Mm-hmm. Next week, Brad will be on to give more information about Theme Switcher Pro. But what's really cool about this, because he demoed it for me, which was phenomenal, is you could have a different theme on pages and posts than you do on the overall site. Like you can switch granularly within your website. So let's say you want to create a landing page that's a different theme altogether that lends itself really well to what you want to do, or you want your blog to have a different look than your main theme, you can do that without causing any issues in your site.
Oh, that's interesting. So it's all so basically you can theme different things separately. I mean, that's always been part of the deal when you sign up for WordPress is you get a theme, and you know, if you really want to change things, you're going to be fiddling with template files, or I guess in the era of FSE it's a little bit easier than
right
that,
but, and if you think about it, like a lot of times people will put like they'll put LearnDash or Lifter on their website and they create a subdomain for it because they want it to have a different theme.
Right,
this way you wouldn't have to do that because you could theme it for your LMS, so you could theme it for, you know, whatever accessory you want to put on your website. Maybe it's a store or something like that. You can do that very, very easily. And you can start to switch over your site page by page if you do want to switch your theme without ruining the whole site and having to redo it.
Oddly, that strikes me as one of the most beneficial uses of it. I imagine for most people, the idea of having two themes is probably more than they want. But if you are in the process of just wanting to, I don't know, you don't want to have a staging site. You want to just, over many, many weeks, you want to just slowly morph one site into another. That's so interesting. Okay, so I'll just read the blurb on it. It says, we're thrilled to unveil Theme Switcher Pro, a powerful new WordPress plugin that empowers you to run multiple themes on your WordPress site simultaneously, all based on customizable conditions. So that means to me it's a classic theme. However, it says, whether you're transitioning to the block editor or managing diverse content types, Theme Switcher Pro offers you the flexibility you need. I guess that this offer is still valid because it's on the top of the web page. There seems to be some sort of discount, 20% off for the first 100 customers using that code there. Let's see how much it is, because that's always of interest.
There is no light version. This is so elite and such an amazing product that they didn't even want to deal with putting it through a light version into the repo. It really is worth a $299 a year for your site or your agency at $600.
That is fairly powerful pricing. Let's just put it that way. $299 for one website and then up to five websites. So that's per annum, dollars, I should say. And $599, so $600 if you want up to five websites. Interesting pricing. Okay, so that's you can find that at themeswitcher.com. Themeswitcher.com. Interesting. Any thoughts, Tim?
Well, I mean, we were chatting, and I was like, the sort of thing I could definitely use. I've got my main website is bodged, is the best way to describe it. And it's taken years to get it to migrate to a new theme because it's too bodged in places. And that's like, oh yeah, this is a process that I want to do over time. I'll be honest, I was up to the point going, oh, after this, I might go and buy that. I'll be honest, when I saw the price, I went, for a personal site, maybe not, but I can certainly see where in a professional agency you might want to use it.
Or let's say you just want to switch over one site, then you really only need it for 1 year. You won't need it to have a subscription for it.
That's not how projects work.
Yeah. 1 year to switch over a site. Yeah, I'm in love. But I think that's kind of curious because if you did adopt that, you could literally change your website from one theme to another. So let's say you've got old theme and you've got this target theme where you want it to get, and you've got many, many different layouts and templates and what have you. Just being able to do it in your hobby spare time and just, okay, this week I've tackled one of the pages or one of the templates, and then I'll just do another in a month or so. That I can see. That's, in fact, in many ways, that feels to me like an untapped market. I wonder if it speaks to that on the, in the content of that website. I didn't spot it that way, but that feels to me almost like a really interesting pivot to offer it to those very people. Okay, so themeswitcher.com.
Can I interrupt you really quickly to say that I did get a text back from our fourth guest today, and he uses speak to text because the very first part says, partners, especially in Flight Crew, I'd like to say thank you to everyone for joining us today. Looking forward to being back here in the friendly skies. Enjoy the rest of your day and have a great weekend. Safe travel, bye bye.
So we know where that person is. That's great. Okay, that's brilliant. So
and then he did say if we wanted to send him a link, he could do it from the plane on his phone. But
no.
I think we'll forego that.
So it was Bud Krause was supposed to be joining us. What's kind of weird, though, is that I've had a morning full of Bud because he's going to be on the Tavern podcast in a few days' time. And I've spent the whole morning listening to the interview and editing it. So it's like I've had Bud during the course of this morning. Oh, I'm sorry that it didn't work out. Maybe the flights got delayed or something like that. Right, we're back to the chickens, by the way. I'm just going to put this out there for people who joined us slightly later. This is what we're running during the course of this episode. I saw this sign, something of the chickens. If you fancy putting something into the comments, you can put your own thing. Doom Speaker. This is for you, Tim.
Yeah.
Doom Speaker.
Look at the latest one.
The chicken. I like that. That's Airport. That's actually really good. I like that. Airport announcement of the chicken.
Just to check, is Cameron implying that of Bud or that the...
Yeah, yeah. Oh, I see.
Wait, I see.
I don't know, but I'm man, if Cameron was 30 years older, I'd marry that man.
Oh, okay. So this doesn't contain the words chickens, but I've got to say, it's profoundly good. What? Dave has written in just what the fuck? Oh, that's great. So back to the plugin in question. Where's it gone? There we go. Theme Switcher Pro. At that price point, Lawrence is saying we'll soon see alternatives priced lower. That's interesting. So first mover is the idea there. And then WordPress plugins from A to Z. Oh, thank you. Hello. Nice to have you with us. Have not seen this in years, but there was a plugin years ago for something like this. Glad to see it might be perfected.
Who's behind that?
Plugins A to Z. Goodness. You know when you forget a name and you feel really bad about it? Oh, my.
Okay, A to Z, tell us.
Yeah, I know this person. I respect this person. I go back a long while listening to this person's podcast. Now I've completely blanked on their name. I am so sorry about that. I feel terrible.
Well, maybe they'll fill in the blank for us.
You can say what the clock has happened to my brain there. I do apologize. He's going to put his name in there and I'm just going to slap. Actually, I can't slap my forehead. I've got this sort of. But let's move on. So the next one, this was brought into the show today by Michelle as well, is Yoast DeVolk, not the person. And this is called The Unintended Consequences of Making SEO for Everybody. What did you make of this? What was the reason you brought this to our attention?
I just love when somebody can look back on a project and say, this is what went really well. This is where we wish we'd done something a little bit different. And I think we can all learn from those kinds of things. And he's not saying, wait, he's stretch with the imagination, but yes, the plugin, like, well, you should just give up on it. For sure, not like that at all, right? But the idea that you create a tool that people then use over-rely on the tool is what I got from it. So like I'm only writing to make it turn green, you know, in the traffic light type situation. And that makes sense, right? Like if you write first and then you keep changing your keywords so that it turns green, you did not write it well, right? So like you should have your keyword first, write around what you're talking about as opposed to what did I write? Okay, we keep changing the keyword until it matches what I wrote kind of thing. So you should be planning for content, not planning for the tool.
Yeah.
That's what I got out of it.
Yeah, it was kind of interesting. By the way, John, overall.
Hang on, just to check, is that John of the chickens?
Oh, that's so good. No, it's John or Jonathan overall, as I kind of know him as Jonathan. And it says, where did John go? And yeah, so I took from this article that in some ways, there were bits and pieces they built into the tool, which if they had their time again, they wouldn't add in because there came to be this reliance on, well, the tool tells us, like one of the things that he says is the green, the traffic light system that they put in, that in hindsight became a crutch for many people. If it wasn't green, it wasn't right. And, you know, this sort of anecdotal thing that he said one day, like, you know, Google likes 300 words articles, that got misinterpreted as Google said, write 300 words at least, whereas that wasn't the case. And I think it's a call for just authoritative, genuine, human, innovative content, as opposed to don't just follow the check marks. Don't just do the thing that the plugin says.
I have a confession. Mm. I will often hit publish without a green light.
How?
Jim's coming after me.
Yeah. I know. I was going to say there's an even better solution. There's a filter to turn it off, which I have done. I've worked at a company that I worked at for previously. We had an employee who would write blog posts to meet the traffic lights, and they were rubbish. And they got obsessed about it, and they were slowing down. And so I just one day I just turned the filter off so the traffic lights weren't there.
Yeah,
and they went, "Where'd they go?" And it's like, I don't know, just vanished.
Yeah, they've just discontinued that feature. Absolutely gone.
Write better, and they might come back.
The content went up much. You know, they started writing with their voice again because they lost the way that they wrote. The whole point for bringing them on was that they were the character, they were that voice, and they. This was obviously before generative AI, but that's what they effectively became so robotic. They might as well have just written the content by AI. Mm-hmm.
I guess if you have a voice or you're a good writer, then you probably never really relied on that stuff all that much. Although you may have relied on it as a cue for when is it, you know, optimized. But if you imagine that you're writing just for the optimization algorithm, it's not going to be probably the thing that most people wish to read. But the flip side of that is if you are an unconfident writer and, you know, the blank page is some kind of version of hell for you, then I guess it does give you something to aim towards. You know, have you got the right keywords? Yeah. But maybe Yoast is speaking of a day where, well, certainly at the moment, it does seem like the algorithms are changing. People are relying on, ChatGPT and that kind of thing as a mechanism for search. And I don't suppose for a minute that ChatGPT will care too much about, you know, getting a green traffic light. Yeah.
I mean, it is a good check for yourself, right? Like, I will sometimes forget to put at the bottom, like, if you have questions, contact us on our contact page, which is an internal link.
Yeah.
And I'll be like, oh yeah, that seeing that there are no internal links reminds me that I wanted to put that at the bottom.
Yeah.
Or perhaps I forgot to write, the excerpt.
And it'll tell you
things like that, right? So I use it more for that than like, did it turn green? But it's a good, and did I get all my alt text in where it needed to be and things like that? So.
Okay, so this was Yoast, obviously of the company Yoast, as was now with Progress Planner. And maybe some of this serves their goal as well in a way. So it's the piece was called The Unintended Consequences of Making SEO for Everyone. And you can find it on Yoast, JOOST.blog. Yeah.
Technically my boss for the only job I do have right
now. Okay, the post status, that's true. Yeah. So yeah, that's good. By the way, now we've got traffic light of the chickens.
I cannot drink coffee in the show. I will be putting it on.
It's gonna go everywhere. Were the chickens behind the fence? No, there wasn't a chicken in sight. There was no chickens. So that's why I said, maybe that's why it was blank. You know,
that's what makes it so funny. There's no chickens. Absence of the chickens.
Absence of the chickens. Okay, so there we go. That was Yoast. And we have something else. If no, Rapture.
They've been raptured. But would you not see feathers everywhere in those feet?
Were no feathers. It was a blank field with just grass in it.
Oh, goodness.
Right.
Oh, see, there's a joke around egg of the chicken and the egg.
No. Oh, this show's going downhill. There's going to be too many titles for me this time around, but it's going to be something.
Just be blank of the chickens.
Blank of the chickens. I like it. Okay. All right, let's move on. So,
and the last thing I just had is that the next tab, I'm sorry, was mine as well, is that WordCamp Canada's call for speakers is open.
Thank you.
And last year was the inaugural WordCamp Canada. So, and I was a speaker last year and on a panel, which it was a phenomenal event. It was smaller than they wanted it to be. They really were hoping more people would attend. And so I'm hoping that because last year was such a success and it was such an amazing event that we'll get more people there and get your talk applications in. It happens to be the weekend of my birthday. So I want to celebrate my birthday in Canada with some of my closest WordPress friends. So please think about attending and think about speaking.
October the 16th to the 17th is going to be the date. And
it does overlap WordPress Accessibility Day. And I'm also on that. So you have to listen
you'll
in the car
in
or something.
Places all at once. Yeah, that'll be interesting. Okay. So maybe there it is.
They could have it up in one of the track, which is just, it's on the screen in one of the rooms.
That's great idea.
I'll put that out there for your
that
idea.
Is a really
put your name on it though, Tim.
Idea. Yeah. Why wouldn't you do that? That's curious. Okay. That's interesting. Okay. Anyway, call for speakers, WordCamp Canada. Oh, it's actually called WordCamp A. WCEH 2025 happening, like I said, middle of October, 16th to the 17th, 2025. And the call for speakers is open until the 15th of June. So you've got plenty of time to think about that. What's this say? Copy friends naming.
There you go.
The one with all the chickens.
The Friends television program always was the one with.
Okay, the one and with of the chickens. I get it. Okay, thank you, Dave. I appreciate that. That makes sense to me now. I never was a big Friends watcher. Everybody else seemed to find it astonishingly funny. I found it like watching paint dry. But anyway, there we go. That's just aged myself. Right, so we're on to Tim's stuff. Tim comes on this show very frequently. And Tim does a lot of stuff. But Tim, as he admitted at the beginning of the show, is not that familiar with self-promotion. He's very good at giving a lot of himself, but doesn't ask for much in return. However, we're going to make him promote his... let's see how uncomfortable this
gets.
We're going to make him promote.
You will do it.
Yeah, you will do it, and you'll enjoy it, damn it. He has got a new offering. The website is going to be dead easy to remember. It's WP Security 101, so the numbers 101.com. WPSecurity101.com. And the headline is, take your WordPress security skills to the next level with Tim Nash. Okay, Tim, engage difficult part of your brain to engage, but engage it anyway. Give us the marketing speak. Tell us why you've done this, who's it aimed at, and all of that good stuff.
So before I do that, to give you an idea of how terrible I am, I've owned this domain name for nearly 10 years.
Okay, that's... Yeah.
I am proud of you.
Just to be clear, I don't think there were too many problems in WordPress security until about the 28th of April, I reckon, 2025. Then it got really serious. There were just, and I can see the future being really bleak. So, okay, with that said, go on.
So I've owned this domain name for a while. I've been thinking about this for a very long time. Many years ago, I was running a dev agency, and as that was coming to the close, I was thinking, what do I want to do? And actually at the time then, I was sort of thinking, I really wish there was a really good WordPress security course, because what tends to be is either these very superficial courses, which ultimately are install plugin, have a nice day, everything will be fine sort of level, or... There are a few super, super deep, really complicated courses designed for penetration testers and people in the security space. What there wasn't was an in-depth sort of fundamentals course on WordPress security for WordPress professionals themselves. And so I was like, well, I'm going to do this, but I need to do it justice. And so I ended up going along, and it took about, 6 years or so from going, well, I think I've got the idea basics down now for making this into a course. And I've ran parts of this before as workshops, and I've worked with agencies to train their staff. So I've taken all of that knowledge, I've distilled it down into a professional development course. So this is meant as a professional development course for WordPress professionals. It's not a course necessarily for developers or for system administrators. You don't need to know how to run servers and how to write code, but it is for somebody who works with WordPress every day. And it's probably best suited for people who have WordPress, who work with WordPress on behalf of clients. The course is going to be made up of 9 modules. It's a learn at your own pace, but there are modules, there are labs, there are quizzes at the end. There is an examination at the end to see if you've done, if you've got all of it right.
Serious.
And certification, which will be valid for a specific period of time. So it's something that I hope over time will become a standard that will be, people will be able to, you'll be able to say, I did this course. Here is my certificate. And there'll be a way of your employer verifying that. So I'm hoping that means that it comes with a little bit of, gives a little bit of professionalism to a space that currently actually lacks that, unless you go down a security pen testing qualification route. And yeah, it's not for sale today. Today I launched the website. A lot of it's been done. I'm not willing to put anything on sale, even at a massive discounted price, until I've completely filmed all of the content. But if you register your interest, you can get on the mailing list. I'm going to be sharing some of the modules ahead of time with the mailing list exclusively, so you'll be able to see some of the content. And once I finished recording and I have like another block of recording to do, I need to go get a haircut. Beard. Once that recording block's done, I'm going to put the course on for pre-sale just to the mailing list at a discounted price. And the goal is to open it up to everybody else and launch it fully launched at the end of May.
Nice.
Is that salesy enough?
Yeah, no, firstly, well done. I know that that doesn't come naturally to you, but that was brilliant. Secondly, dear listener, Tim comes onto the show, and obviously we all adopt a bit of a persona, don't we? We're all jolly and, you know, we talk and have a nice time. Tim is the real thing. Tim knows his stuff. You know, I'm not really a developer. I can sort of hack my way at PHP and I'm kind of dangerous. Tim is not me. Tim really, really, really understands what he's talking about. And so this won't be some sort of tin pot course thrown together without thought. I'm saying that I haven't seen it, but I know you, I trust you. And
the version I'm sending to Nathan is going to be
install plugin, smile. Yeah, yeah, that's right.
Can I ask
modules.
You to scroll all the way to the very bottom?
I can.
The absolute last thing on here, I was delighted. Where is the cookie banner? The site doesn't use tracking cookies for its analytics.
Nice.
I love that.
Nice.
That is very cool. Did you expect, especially from out of the UK, you expect that banner pop up to be like,
Yeah. So let's just run through the nine modules. So just to give you some sort of oversight, I suppose, of what's going on. The first module is Introduction to WordPress Security. There's a bullet point list. I won't go through it all, but then a discussion of user management. That's module two. Module three is update management, all crucial things. Browser security. That's interesting. That is fascinating. I didn't even think that would be something I would need to worry about, but of course it is. Configuration management is module five. Then we move to module six, hosting and backups. Module seven, monitoring. Module eight, the real hole in my knowledge would be this one, compliance. And then module nine, he's called that one, putting it all together. So the intention is to have this launched by the end of May. But if you were listening carefully there, you'll have noticed that there's a register form on the page. And if you put your name into that email list there, then you're going to get a special offer when the course first drops, available only to the people on that list. So once more, WP Security 101, learn from one of the best, from Tim Nash, all about WordPress security. And good luck with that, Tim. How far are you through the recording of it? Because that is a painful process, I know only too well.
Yeah, we're over the two-thirds mark now.
Oh, great.
Most of it is now scripted out.
So. Yeah, that is well done. Okay, so it's definitely coming around. Self-promotion of the chickens. That's so good. Cammy says she's excited to sign up. That's brilliant. That's lovely. Certification is a good idea. Showcase on their LinkedIn and resumes. Just out of interest, obviously in the UK, so I'm directing this question at Tim, but it's in reply to what Patricia just said. When you are thinking about your certification, what does that mean? Will it just be a sort of authorized by Tim Nash kind of thing? Or is there some other thing in the background that you can bring to bear on that? And I'm sorry, that sounds very ignorant.
No, it's not. And it's something that there are like professional level bodies that will like allow you, sub-license you to use their name on your certification. But researching it, really was like, oh, wait, I just have to pay you. And then you're saying my certificate's valid. That doesn't make my certificate valid. That means I've just paid you.
Yeah.
Surely that's not how this works. And the more I dug in, the more I realized, oh, that's exactly how it works. So there are those sort of bodies. And you can, even people like City and Guilds, which is like a name you probably haven't heard of for a long time. But so there are those sort of bodies. Initially on the first version, it is going to be, hey, slightly relying on my own name and saying this has been, you know, been on the course by Tim. This is, and what I'd love to do is be able to ultimately partner with another body as well, so we can combine that certification. But that's down the road. That's not something that's going to be offered initially. And it's finding the right partner. Because as I say, the ones that I've come across pretty much just want me to give them a large quantity of money so that their name is on the certificate, which doesn't seem to bring any more value to, and it certainly wouldn't bring value. If I had to raise the price of the course up by $1,000 to pay for somebody's name that nobody's going to care about, that's not going to work in anyone's interest.
No, it's not in anybody's best interest. Okay, thanks for answering that. So Patricia has a different thing. She says, all the best for the launch, Tim. I know the feeling to have the idea take years before you actually do it. Yeah. Lawrence is, it's either Don of the Chickens or it means that he's filled out your email list. Yeah. I imagine it's that. So Cammy, I think I said already, is excited to sign up. And a very technical question. What LMS did you use? Maybe that's decided.
I was going to say, this is the fun bit. I knew that if I did the LMS and built the site out first, what would happen is the course would never get launched.
Yeah.
So when the course content's in correct place, then I'm going to work on the LMS side of things.
Too right, because you end up worrying about all the padding and margins and obsessing for days about how the LMS will fit around your content.
Yeah. So at the moment, there isn't one.
Yeah.
Have you don't have to say which, but have you selected one?
I have it narrowed down to two, one of which is a WordPress platform plugin. Well, free, because there's also the option of custom coding something, which is the one I'm tending to lean to. There is an LMS plugin that I'm looking at. I've discounted most of them for various personal reasons. And then I've also been looking at a SaaS product, because ultimately, do I want to deliver the course and manage the course, or do I want to manage the WordPress side? And it's finding that balancing point. I think because of the nature of the course, it would be really odd if I went down the SaaS product route. So I'm probably going to lean into doing something.
It would say, do your work elsewise, because maybe it's not secure. As the security experts did not do WordPress.
But then again, I always try to use the tool that's best for the job, and sometimes WordPress isn't the best tool at that time. It doesn't mean it can't be made the best tool, and doesn't mean that you couldn't make it the right tool. But if you need something quickly, building something out in WordPress
you've
isn't
just been
always
excommunicated from the WordPress community.
This is why I'm not allowed to sell anything, Michelle.
Here's
because you have a hammer. Every problem is not a nail, and WordPress applies to that as well.
Yeah, that's true. Just a quick question, Tim. Do you intend to do sort of community around this? In other words, are you, because part of the thing that I think is quite interesting about these kind of things is kind of collaborative learning. And I don't know if that's something you want to be involved in. Having a community is hard, but also rewarding.
It is. So what I've done a fair bit, little bit of feedback, and the feedback was overwhelmingly, we don't want a community for security, because everybody wants to learn about security. Well, I hope everybody does, but it's a very difficult space for you to open up your problems.
Yeah, okay.
And so that community is going to be a very weird community. It's not going to be a community that shares.
Yeah.
It's going to be a community that wants to broadcast maybe its successes, but are very, very unlikely to broadcast their failures. And
okay.
A community is only really useful when you get a mix of both.
Yeah, that's a good point. I like it. That's a good answer to that question. Lawrence is saying it could be a one course with one lesson. Do not use WP. Okay. And I don't know what I did wrong here. It says, wait. Cameron says, wait. Can we get Nathan to say that word again? That was funny. I say resumes. What is that?
I think resume is the...
How do you say it, Tim?
Resume.
You say resume as well. I say resume. I always have said, everybody that I know says that as well. Not that I have a great deal of interactions with people where we all gather around.
Well, I've got news for you, Nathan. Then it's a very small pocket of the population.
Okay, there's the title then. Resume of the Chickens. Okay.
What you actually say is CV.
Yeah, that's the easiest way, isn't it? Yeah, thank you. Much better. Okay, so there we go. There was Tim's first bit. However, he has more to share with us this week.
We're already an hour in and we haven't.
Oh, I know. No, but it's nice. It's really nice. This is some awesome, of this stuff, isn't it? It's so lovely. Yeah. I'm really enjoying this. And it's really nice that the content isn't all driven by me because I have proclivities that are not, you know, what everybody wants. So, okay, I'm looking at a GitHub repo. It's called BetterFox. What is it, Tim?
So, as most people who are regulars probably know through the various technical glitches that happen with this platform, and me in particular, I'm a Firefox user. I think it's really important that we have an open source browser that is a good competitor to Chrome. Whether or not you use a Chromium-based browser day-to-day, it's really, really important that we still have this open source browser available. And so this is BetterFox. It's a set of configuration files to make Firefox better from a security perspective, a privacy perspective, but also from performance. Lots of tweaks and edits and things you can do. And it's one of these awesome list type of repos where there's just lots of little things you can pull out of. So if you're a Firefox user, you haven't seen this, check out BetterFox. You can pinch bits that you like for your browser because that's one of the really nice things about Firefox is that you can really, really customize it.
Can I just ask, is this basically changing things in like the config file of the browser? So it's not extending Firefox, it's setting settings which might be available, you know, flags and things like that that might be available but hidden from the UI and things?
The config file itself in Firefox can be modified with JavaScript. So you'll notice these are all JS files.
Yeah.
So you can then do all sorts of if you can have configs change based on certain things happening, and you can get JavaScript to change it and variables and bits in it. So it's it is ultimately just changing config flags, but you can do that on a per tab basis or however you want it.
Okay, great. So so BetterFox, I'm going to put the link in the show notes, but it's kind of it's not that difficult.
You can Google it if you Google.
Yeah, you Google it. Okay, that's probably the best way to do it. BetterFox. And also interestingly, just before we hit the record button, I said I downloaded and installed on my Mac a Firefox derivative which looked like Arc. Do you remember the browser that everybody raved about for a while? And actually there's a file in here called Xen. And I imagine that's something to do with it because that browser is called Xen. I'd forgotten. And it's basically the Arc skin with Firefox under the belly. And I loved the Arc skin. It's kind of like, you know, multiple windows at the same time or three or four windows. You can tile the windows as you see fit. There wasn't much beyond that was of interest, but that was particularly useful. Okay, BetterFox was one of the ones. And then back to Tim's, you know, stomping ground, we've got a security piece. Fake is patch stack. Fake security vulnerability phishing campaign targets WooCommerce users. Of course it does. Why? But tell us what's going on.
Well, I picked up this article for two reasons. The first was there's a fake security vulnerability phishing campaign targeting WooCommerce users doing the rounds.
Yeah.
Actually, when I went to start to do a little bit of digging for this, because I was going to contact my own clients, I actually realized that it's a relatively small, I know they describe it as widespread, big scale, but in widespread, big scale spam and this sort of phishing campaign, it's not that big. But it is interesting is to see when people pick up that these phishing campaigns have been happening. And they're developing. And I read the article and I was a bit, it was a bit of a mean comment, but I read the article and at the end of it, I turned around to a friend and said, do you think they got caught in this scam? Because this is the sort of thing that you see because that's how these would make the news in the first place. But I think it's really important that we do these articles and we do tell people when these are happening because it is so easy to fall for it.
Oh,
and God. Phishing emails are getting better, so much better. Historically, you could spot a phishing email because of the spelling mistakes, the weird grammar issues, the fact that it looked wrong. But now, bad actors have access to well, ChatGPT.
Yeah, yeah.
They can just say, make convincing email phishing attack. And so ChatGPT goes, sure, I'll make you a convincing phishing attack. Here you go. They don't even need to have to guess what might pull on your heartstrings because they can just get the AI to do it for them. So this is a really good example where you end up on a page that looks like a Woo page and it's telling you to download the patch. Now, that should ring alarm bells for a lot of people.
It doesn't,
because a patch, that's not how WooCommerce does its updates. You do your updates through the WordPress admin area, or if you're in a dev agency that's using Composer or something like that, you do it that way. You would never have a patch that you'd have to download and install. But plenty of other pieces of software do have a patch that you can download and install. So you recognize the words. It sounds super scary. And obviously, anything with security, we take seriously and we deal with straight away.
Like making a course, for example.
Definitely don't delay on that. But so people will go and install it. And once you've installed the patch, things happen.
Yeah.
It nicks all your passwords and sets you up to DDoS other people's sites. Well, I'm not so worried about this particular phishing attack. I thought it was really good that Patch Stacker highlighting this as a concept. And as always, never ever trust something that comes in an email that says download something.
Yeah.
Or even click me as a link, especially if you didn't ask for it.
I just think the playbook that these people must be running off is so refined now. You know, there's just so many errors that they've made in the decades that they've been doing it. Now it's, you know, like even to the point that, I don't know, they bought the domain security-woocommerce.com. That all looks legit. You know, you just glance your eye up to, where's this? You see the word woocommerce.com. You might not parse the bit in front of it. But also the landing page where they send you looks really legit. I'm showing it on the screen. I mean, it was, I actually don't know what the Woo landing page for this might look like, but that looks fairly credible.
It's even got the new branding.
Yeah, exactly. There's no red flags there, is there? There's nothing shouting at you as, look, this just looks poorly executed. And again, ChatGPT could quite easily scrape anything from anywhere and give you it back. But thank you. Thanks for your insight on that. And that's led to scam of the chickens. I knew this game would work. I'm so pleased.
That's great. Karen.
And just back to the theme switcher plugin, John is back and he says it's based upon a very old plugin. It looks to be from the same developer. Did you say Brad, I think, Brad Williams?
Yes.
The original code is still on GitHub. So thank you for that. That's good to know. Right. Okay. I'm going to just sort of whiz through a few of the bits and pieces that I thought we'd raised. There was a few bits in here, but basically, if you haven't been inspecting your WordPress website over the last couple of weeks, it will have all ticked over, hopefully automatically, onto WordPress 6.8. There's quite a lot that has been unpacked on this show about that, but I wanted to just mention that Birgit and the crew at Gutenberg Times have created an article all about the different bits and pieces that is in there, along with just some other content from around the WordPress space. So I'll put that into the show notes. And where am I going to go next? Self-promotion, I'm sorry. I chatted to Ryan Welcher, who's an automatician, and he spoke to me when I was in Manila at WordCamp Asia all about what is new in, well, 6.7 it was at the time, but also 6.8. And he talked a lot about the APIs that are new in WordPress. So I'll just highlight it here. The block bindings API, the template registration API, preview options API, and although it's not an API, the data views as well. So if you want to know about all of the different bits and pieces, Ryan really is a jolly good expert. One thing that Ryan does, he has a YouTube and a Twitch channel, and it's called Ryan, what is it called? Ryan Welcher Codes, I think. All as one word, Ryan Welcher Codes. And if you've got a problem in the block editor, something that you as a developer can't see your way past, he does live coding and he's open to suggestions. So if you've got something that is really causing you to pull your hair out and you can get it to Ryan, he does on a weekly basis, tries to unpick not only problems that he thinks are interesting, but other problems that people send him. So that's kind of could be interesting for people out there to watch as well. We stray away from this topic quite a lot, but I thought it would be worth mentioning. Maybe there's a I don't know, maybe there's some sort of sea change going on at the moment. Matt Mullenweg posted a piece on the 22nd of April. And when I read it, I didn't get the context of it. But it was just called WordPress Jubilee. It's on wordpress.org. So it went out to, I don't know how many tens of thousands of people. It was, you know, obviously.
Millions.
Millions. Okay, thank you.
Because think about it, it's installed on every WordPress website.
Yeah, good. Yes, thank you. Good point. And so the context of it was lost on me at the time because the piece is just called WordPress Jubilee. And it turns out that Jubilee is a word which Catholics resonate with, but I'm not Catholic and didn't know what that word meant. So I didn't quite get the title. I thought Jubilee to me is like celebration. It's almost like you could substitute the word for party or something like that. And the piece says, as I said, we're dropping all the human blocks, community guides, directory guidelines, and as such will need to be followed going forward. But whether blocks were in place before are now cleared, it may take a few days, but pre-existing blocks are considered bugs to be fixed. And I genuinely wasn't sure what that meant. But then a little bit of context came the following day, and I think on Twitter and various other platforms, there'd been a whole bunch of people being blocked from a variety of different things, like, for example, the WordPress Slack and make.wordpress.org. And so it turns out, I'm now looking at Matt's personal blog, it's ma.tt, and this piece is called Reflecting. And I didn't realize that Matt is Catholic. The Pope, obviously, if you are a Catholic, this will have been terribly important, but the Pope passed away very recently, and it caused Matt to have a reflective moment. And he said that he's going to start unblocking everything. So if you're one of the people that did get caught up in the block, and there's a bunch of people in the UK who got caught up in that, the block should disappear. And so then going back to this comment on WordPress.org, this bit here where it says pre-existing blocks are considered bugs to be fixed. What I'm reading in that is if you're still blocked, that's an error. And your account should come back online. So I don't know if I'm parsing that correctly, but it feels like anybody that had been blocked for reasons concerning WP Engine and the litigation around that, those blocks will be undone. I think anybody who was blocked in ways prior to that, or for, you know, I'm using air quotes, legitimate reasons prior to that, they would presumably still be blocked.
I would hope so, because I have been instrumental in getting two bad people with fake accounts blocked for submitting pornography to the photo project. So yeah. I would assume those blocks would remain in place, for example.
Okay.
There is nothing to say that that's the case.
No.
The implication is that it's related, but there's either two. The back end system is obviously less than transparent for WordPress, and how things get blocked, so it's less than transparent. It just happens.
I've had conversations that would say that the people who have submitted pornography, for example, will not be unblocked.
Good. But there isn't any indication as to whether reasons are lodged and explained in the blocking process. So there could if that's the case, then the only route really would be to go through them and either do you remember if you unblocked this guy? Do you remember this one? Or that you have to take the opposite approach, which is unblock everybody and then reapply the blocks to the ones.
It is a manual process in unblocking people, is my understanding.
Because thinking about that, there is an opportunity for that to go quite badly wrong, isn't there? So if the unblocking were en masse and it was more or less of a, okay, tick the box, you know, unblock all, for want of a better word, then there may be some people who...
That kind of amnesty is perhaps not warranted.
Yeah, but also, can you imagine if, like, people still in the community who might then, I don't know, suffer because somebody's been reintroduced who was legitimately kicked out.
Right. And
okay. So
they're being very thoughtful in how they're approaching it. Okay. I will say that.
All right. Thank you. Anyway, so that marks an interesting shift in the relations with the community over the last few weeks. And let's just see how this goes. There was a call from people, I think, for this to happen, whether or not bridges have been burned. I don't know. We will let's wait and see. But there we go. Mm-hmm. So WordPress Jubilee and reflecting over on the Matt Mullenweg blog. Right. What is useful for us to do in the time that remains? Because we don't have a great deal. All right, let's
have 15
let's
minutes
one.
Left.
Yeah, we've got 15 minutes, but there was a fair bit in there. I'm just going to raise this one first. Pascal Birchler, who is a Googler, but working exclusively, I think, 100% on the WordPress project. He has created, or at least he's got a demo of how to create a carousel block using just WordPress and CSS. Now, I know that carousels have maybe gone out of favor and what have you, and I think probably that's to do with, you know, whether or not they're accessible, whether or not they bring in a massive JavaScript library. But Pascal is showing a way that you can do this now inside of WordPress, just basically using CSS. I'm really astonished by what CSS can now do. I am no expert, and I don't really push the boundaries with anything like that. But when I watch people online doing things with just CSS, I'm kind of amazed that, you know, the lack of dependencies and the lack of JavaScript libraries that you need to bring over nowadays. So this is that. This is Ryan building a CSS carousel inside of a WordPress block. And you can see, you know, if you're listening to this, apologies, there's a bunch of CSS files and, you know, all the associated bits and pieces that I can't describe, but well worth looking at.
What's interesting to me is how many carousels we still see in places like news and television. So, for example, if you go to Hulu and you log into your Hulu account, it's going to scroll through and show you a bunch of new movies they want you to watch.
Yeah, it's
same
a great
Netflix and things like that, right? It has its place.
Yeah, it's got that is a really great interface for that, isn't it? Because you basically, on a TV, you've got what, up, down, left, right, really. That's all you've got on the controls. And just clicking right, you get into that doom scrolling sort of thing there, don't you? Trying to find the next film for tonight's viewing. Right. All the carousel runs out. I like it. I personally, I'm quite drawn to it. And there are some really neat examples down here leveraging CSS, which are not the norm. So with a slider, I'm kind of usually anticipating things to go from left to right, but he's demonstrating that you could, I don't know, have buttons which are arranged in a stack, horizontally or vertically. Mm-hmm. But also there was a curious one, I don't know if I can find it, where's it gone? There was a really unusual one where it almost looked like you were in some sort of 3D, oh, it's gone. Or maybe it was part of this video, I don't know, where it looked like you were in some sort of 3D, I don't know, everything was, there, that one. Where's it gone? Come on. Wait for it. No, I'm not going to find it. Maybe I'll find it. There, that. Look at that. Don't you think that's really cool? I mean, it's cool. Probably not accessible, but anyway, there you go. Well done, Pascal. Thank you for sharing the knowledge. Anything on that, Tim?
Slider goes wee.
Yeah, it does. It does. You need sliders on your security, you know, for those 9 modules, Tim. There's a slider there waiting for it. Okay. Speaking of courses, there's this came across my, came on my radar. I actually don't remember who did this. It was one of those moments when I was scrolling on Twitter and I saw it and then opened up a tab and then went on and did something else. So my sincere apologies for the person who's obviously put their heart and soul into this, but I haven't remembered their name. I'm sorry about that. But it's the Full Stack Digital .io WordPress block creator series, and they have an entirely free course on how to, well, exactly as it says, how to create WordPress blocks. It's a work in progress, so if you sign up, then you're going to be into a drip campaign which will let you know when new content is created. But at the moment there are 10 different courses available, or 10 different modules or lessons or what have you. So if that's your thing, fullstackdigital.io/WordPress block creator course. Does anybody off the top of their head know who it is?
I went to the About Me page. There was their name on it.
I know. That was the other thing. I couldn't reverse engineer their name. I went to the About Us page, like here. I went to a variety of different places and I couldn't. Oh, let's try the contact page. I didn't try that. I bet it's a form.
Anton Plush.
Okay, where does it say that? How are you seeing
it? On the Calendly.
Okay, if you go to Calendly. Anyway, in that case, thank you, Anton. I don't know. I haven't tried it. I haven't looked into it, but, you know, it's worth mentioning on a show like this. Mm-hmm. Right. What else have we got? Oh, if you're an Elementor user, speaking of CSS, they've got a version 4 coming. Elementor is just this juggernaut. If you don't use it, you probably don't really pay close attention to it particularly. Obviously, those people that do are probably obsessing about what's coming, but it's massive. I think it's some crazy number, like 26% of all WordPress websites. I am just making up numbers, but it's along those kind of lines. So it's truly huge.
And they've just launched their accessibility plugin. They've just launched their biz theme. It's crazy. They're so busy.
Yeah, they've got a plugin called Ally, which is endeavoring to spot on your WordPress websites things that can be improved. And it's not bound to Elementor. It's completely separate. So it's not like an add-on to Elementor. It's a direction that they're going in. So there is a paid level to that, or at least there will be in the future. And so that's a whole different wing of Elementor, if you know what I mean. But yeah, I was chatting to Gabriella Laster all about Elementor V4, which is a fairly seismic change to their platform. The UI and the UX, Gabriella says, will be very familiar, but there'll be far less of those sort of settings where you do things like type in numbers and drag sliders for things like margin and padding. The idea in the future is that CSS, we were just talking about Pascal Birchler, that CSS will be one of the important new components in an Elementor website. And so you will set, like you might do with something like Tailwind or something like that, you will set a bunch of CSS classes at the beginning of the build process. So you'll say button like this, and then you'll say rounded corners like this, blue is this, and then you'll stack rounded corners, blue button. And in that way, out will hopefully come a beautifully looking button. But the point is, they're trying to leverage what CSS is going to be doing in the near future, and also hopefully upskilling you in your CSS knowledge as well. That's one of the things. But if you are an Elementor user, I think this is one of those moments where you'll have to start looking at what they're going to offer. And, you know, maybe if your clients are using it, let them know that this is all coming. Sorry, anybody want to mention Elementor or talk about that? No. Okay. In which case, where should we go next? What did we not do? Okay, this one. Bricks, another very, very popular. I don't think they've got the numbers of Elementor, but I know amongst a certain cohort of people, Bricks is the thing. They're moving over to Bricks 2.0. Again, another massive refresh, as far as I'm aware. I don't use it, so I can't really speak to it. However, as always, the founder of Bricks pretty much seems to do most of the things themselves. They do a lot of the development work, and I think a lot of the videos and things like that as well. It's pretty remarkable. They have a video here. It's 1.5 hours long where they show all of the different bits and pieces. So there's a lot to take in, but I suppose in a way that also indicates there is a lot of new stuff in there. So Bricks 2.0 is out, and you can find out all the different bits and pieces from them. And what else have we got? We have also got this one. Make this maybe the last one with a few minutes to spare. This is WP Descriptor. I don't know whether I trust AI with these kind of things, but the idea here is that WP Descriptor, you'll download the plugin, activate it, and it will attempt to take out the, in inverted commas, I'm doing air quotes, the dull work of creating, you know, alt tags and descriptions for your images. Reading through the blurb, it seems like you invoke an AI. The AI does its work, injects things into the meta fields for description and, you know, what have you, depending on what you've got set up for images. And it'll just work out of the can. Pricing is 1,000 credits is $20. 5,000 credits is $50. I don't know what a credit actually equates to. But maybe this is something that you've got to do on a daily basis and you want to get out of the grind. Like I said, I'm a little bit skeptical. No, not skeptical. That sounds a bit blunt. But do you know what I mean? I'm not entirely sure I want to hand over control of this to an AI, judging based upon the fact that it seems to go wrong about, I don't know, 1/10 of the time. It just goes off the rails. Would you trust this, either of you?
I think if it was, if you're doing bulk uploads via AI and you're not then editing and doing editorial control, then no, as you say, it's inevitably going to do something terrifyingly bad and put the worst case scenario in there where you're going to suddenly go, your picture of an apple will get described as some sort of scene of torture.
Right.
You're going to be there going, well, obviously that wasn't what I meant. But if you're presumably still reading over the description.
Okay, there we go. That, yeah.
But whether is if you're putting an image in a page for some reason, presumably you're doing it for a reason and you want to give something about that image over to the reader. So doesn't it make more sense to what your thoughts were with the image and the reasoning for it rather than necessarily the wider... I know that an alt text should be about giving a description of an of the image.
Of the what's actually in the image, yeah.
But it's all context. It's still context-driven, and there's got to be some sort of... an image portrays feelings as much as it does physicality. So I can't help but feel that you'd be losing some of your own story if you... let an AI do the description.
Yeah, I kind of feel some of this busy work that we've got to do, we're slowly but surely just sort of saying, okay, none of those tasks need to be done by... If an AI can do it, an AI can do it, and it should do it. And it does feel that... Yeah, anyway, there is the product. You know, if that is meaningful to you and you think you can make use of it, give it a whirl. They go to... you know, they say here, what makes it different? And they say, unlike other tools, WP Descriptor doesn't just stop at SEO. It creates human-friendly, engaging descriptions that connect with your audience. Your images will no longer be background elements. They'll be powerful assets that contribute to your content's success. You will caveat emptor. You will have to try it and see how you go.
My relationship with AI is a trust but verify.
Yeah. Okay. Situation. Yeah. You know? So bulk maybe is not the best way to go about these kind of things. But if you, you know, if you're going to do the things one at a time, maybe that will work. Let's just put a few different comments.
Just before then, in the comments,
John
has actually used it.
Perfect. There we go. Oh, great. Okay. So there we go. Oh, that's lovely. Right. So we've got a ringing endorsement from John. It's a fantastic plugin and I've been using it since beta, saves tons of time.
Awesome.
So we don't really have time, John, but if you can, like, does it do a credible job? Like, of the images that you've dropped in there, does it actually give something back that you think that does align with what's actually in there? Would you perhaps trust it to be on autopilot even? Because that's the bit where I would worry. I would worry that it would go do all the busy work in the background and then I would be left picking up the... you know, the pieces when it just said something incendiary. One credit is one description. Okay, thank you. That's helpful. It also helps when going back through a site lacking in the info. Okay, so that, yeah, okay. I can imagine in a scenario where you've picked up a site and there are thousands of images that have got nothing, definitely better to have something than nothing. Again, the caveats that we mentioned earlier. You also get an opportunity to modify what the AI offers on. Okay, so that's great. So he says very credible in support of the chickens, says David Walmsley. Thank you, I appreciate that. But not on autopilot, says Jonathan. Okay, that's it. We've kind of run out of time. Were there any comments that might be worth... mentioning courses of the chickens. I think we didn't get that one in, so there's yet another. What's your favorite one? What should be the title of this show?
Goodness.
It's going to be a chicken. Shall I go with blank of the chickens, like a couple of underscores or something? Shall I go with that? All right, I'm getting a nod.
I did like Scam of the Chickens, and I
Scam.
Do like, and I do actually like In Support of the Chickens, which I think for a title works quite well.
Okay, we'll go for that then. In Support. So Walmsley drops in right at the end and offers us that bombshell. Thank you very much. I really appreciate it. How can I make that one go away? There we go. That's perfect. Right.
Lovely.
So there we go. That's this episode. Thank you. Appreciate it. We'll be back next week for episode number 333 with a different range of guests. Hopefully Bod is safely on his plane journey now. And I will have fun emailing him later. Awkward wave of the chickens. Okay, here it comes. Here comes the awkward wave of the chickens. There we go. Whoa. There we go. That's perfect. Thank you very much indeed. It only remains for me to thank Tim Nash and Michelle Frechette. Go check out Tim's course. wpsecurity101.com. And thank you to you, all you lovely people who've taken out the time in your busy schedules to give us your fun things about chickens. Who knew that that was even a thing? One last comment, the extra S in the plural of chickens. Okay, I'll try. Let's get my grammar right. We will see you next week. Take it easy.
Bye.
Bye for now. Bye. 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 Bye.